Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. Looking through these, Kyle, people are hitting the panic button a little bit on some quarterbacks and coaches.
I've never been more ashamed in my entire life to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan than I am right now. They let me down last night, Joe. This is the first time all season I've actively rooted for a team to win a football game.
What happened?
The Bengals got stomped.
I'm sorry. But the Bengals are legit bad.
That's what I said to you earlier this morning. I said, I came away from that game, and I said, the Bengals legitimately do not do anything well. They don't even do anything good. They're terrible. They are a horrendous football team.
Sad. I like some of their pieces on defense, but...
But the good news, the shining moment, I don't know if you saw this, the game last night inspired me to buy a ticket to Tua Bowl. I'm going to Tua Bowl.
Yeah, I told you I'd go with you if the Bills play on Saturday that week, which is a possibility.
My only concern is it's week 16. The travel is extremely close to Christmas. I did not look at flights before I booked this trip.
Oh, no.
So, it may be a little more expensive than what I thought it was, but the ticket was fairly cheap. Joe, I could buy you a seat anywhere in that stadium. I guarantee we could sit next to each other.
Yeah, should be no problem. As usual, plenty of good seats available at Joe Robbie Stadium.
Hard Rock Stadium.
Joe Robbie.
All right. So first order of business for me, Joe, is I have the random list generator with all of the two people who decided they wanted to take me up on my offer for free money bet.
How do we know the integrity of this drawing is legit?
I can do a screenshot, if you'd like, of the random list generator.
Which you could continue to reshuffle until it gives you the outcome that you want.
Well, you can listen to the click. All right?
Can you just say on my honor and I'll believe you?
If you'd prefer that way as well, I can do that.
No, you're good. I trust your integrity. Whatever happens, happens.
Actually, here you go. This list, the random list generator, tells you how many times you've randomized the list.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I trust the integrity. Let's go.
So what? I've taken a picture, a screenshot of it. Says you've randomized this list three times. So I'm going to reset it. And I'm going to do it over again. Okay.
Okay. So you've already been trying funny business on the back end.
No, I'm just experimenting with it.
All right.
It's Patrick Brown, Patriots fan.
Oh, come on. This guy's a Patriots fan.
And Joe Marino, Buffalo Bills fan. Listen, with all of the thousands of downloads that we get on this show, I had two people who decided they would like free money. What is wrong with you people? I don't understand. I literally said, I'll pay your bet. And I got two responses. One of them's from my own freaking co-host.
Look, I didn't have that bet until you reminded me of the line, like literally like 3 minutes before kickoff, and they had dropped it down to like 36 and a half. I'm like, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
You're like, the Ole Miss's backup quarterback's in. I'm like, I'm taking the bet, and then I'm going to cash in if I'm wrong.
I got all fired up when the Ole Miss backup was in. I said, dude, this is stealing money at this point.
Yeah, didn't work out.
Little did we know the Bama linebackers are not good.
All right.
Maybe some of us knew that, but not to the degree in which we saw in Alabama conceding 31 points. So here we go, Joe.
Yep, $20.
Joe Marino, Patrick Brown, random list generator. Randomize the list. Joe Marino is number one on the list.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Joe Marino has won the free money. Now, I feel really slimy doing this.
You do? What? You don't know what I'm going to do with the $20 yet.
I know, but it's the premise.
Yeah.
Of my podcast partner has won the free money bet when I had somebody else who didn't.
Listen, I'll do something with that $20. You know what you can do with that $20, Kyle? You can go to the TDN store and get the Draft Day Every Day merch from the Draft.
You've been pushing this.
Yeah, I always wanted
to buy that shirt with this money.
I've already bought my shirt. I'm going to buy someone else's shirt. Buy someone else's shirt with that $20. I don't know how, I don't know who it's going to be yet, but I'll figure it out by the end of the week.
Well, I already have your information. Patrick, I'm going to not allow Joe to submit his bet slip next week. So keep betting,
bro. Am I officially disqualified from this?
Going forward.
All right. I'm honored to be the first winner of this, though.
I did not specify. I feel ashamed. Let's get the takes on takes.
Yeah, let's hope that you don't have many of these drawings in the future.
All right. I need to give you the first one.
All right, I'll take the
first. Because I don't want the second one. I've already had a discussion with Josh Otter about
it. Yeah, but then he called me out, so we're dealing with it.
All right, cool. So I'm giving you the first one, or you're giving me the first one?
Depends on if you want the second one.
Well, it's towards you, so you should defend your honor. Go ahead.
So you get this one. Vontel says, Jake Fromm will either be a Viking or a Titan after the 2020 draft. Really lame and safe, but I think it's very possible.
Listen, I think stylistically, Fromm makes a lot of sense for both of those teams based on what they have now. Would you agree that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. Yep. But
the question is, shouldn't the Vikings and Titans want something different?
Bingo.
With their next quarterback. If Mike Zimmer stays, I could see Fromm being a logical fit, assuming Fromm comes out. But, Joe, I'm going to take the field here.
I always
take the field thanks to Joe Marino. So there's two parts of this that forced me to take the field. We don't know for sure if Fromm's going to be in this draft class because Fromm hasn't played bad, but he's not lighting the field up like Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts are right now and Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert, who's having a career year from a completion percentage, and you know people are down on Herbert because he lost to Auburn playing with third string wide receiver. Like, I don't care. Like, he's still really good. And then the fact that there's also 30 other teams that could feasibly take Jake Fromm, give me the field. Give me the field. Josh Otter said Joe is not allowed to talk about Tua until he can learn to pronounce his last name. It's Tagovailoa, not Tagovailoa. Tattle takes. Takes on takes. Learn something every day.
To which I say, first of all, Josh, big taking a big L there for your first attempt at calling us out on this.
He was super cool about it.
Yeah, I know he was.
You missed it on social. Josh's initial take was, I am not allowed to say it because he thought it was pronounced Tagovailoa and not Tagovailoa.
And then you responded with the video of Tua showing everyone how to say his name. To which I would, Josh, about this, like, I respect what you're doing here. I don't think I say his last name. I say Tua. I don't know that I ever really say his last name because I host Locked On Bills, man. And people get so pissed at me because I can't say the Bills punter's last name. So I just call him Corey B now. And that's it. It's Corey B and it's Tua. I know that people get fired up about pronunciation. And I, you know, Albert O, right? Not Oku Wegbunam. And who was that? Amani.
You crushed that.
Yeah. After we had like a Hooked On Phonics section about it one time. And then there's Amani O. Remember Amani Oruarie? I just said Amani O the whole season. I've learned through a bazillion podcasts that if I can't pronounce a name, then I'm not going to do it because it's too easy of a piss off point for people. Dr. Kyle. Doctor, not Dr. Kyle. Just
He's
Doctor.
Back. He's back again this week.
He says the Dolphins will manage to win three games this season against the Jets, Skins, and Bengals, giving them the third overall pick. The plans to draft a franchise quarterback will be foiled when the Skins draft Tua at one and the Bengals draft Herbert at two.
I don't see this happening, and I think if Washington gets one, I think they'd be willing to make a deal with everything Miami has to trade.
Oh, yes.
I would hate to see that materialize from a Miami perspective. But Miami's got five ones the next 2 years, including one that's two picks behind with a team that technically doesn't need a quarterback. So you can trade back from 1 to 3, pick up a first round pick in each of the next 2 years and still get Chase Young. You mean to tell me you're not doing that?
Right.
So here in itself, the Dolphins will manage to win 3 games against the Jets, Redskins, and Bengals. I don't know, Joe. You remember when I did my mock draft and I predicted everybody's records?
Mm-hmm.
I was told by numerous sources that I lost all credibility as a football analyst because I predicted the Dolphins to win 2 games.
Which side is it, Kyle?
I don't know.
They ain't winning any games, brother. Yeah, nothing to worry about.
No, they might steal one somewhere along the way. They might steal one, but I don't. I mean, the coaching staff is like deliberately not making adjustments in game. They come out and like they look really good for their first like 15 offensive plays each of the last 2 games. Like they went down, scored a touchdown on Dallas, or almost scored a touchdown on Dallas. Drive fell apart on them because of penalties, and they went down and scored a touchdown against the Chargers. First possessions and second possessions have been very good for Miami. The second half, I think Miami's been outscored 81-0. They're not adjusting, and I think there's a reason, because they don't want to win football games. Mr. Thick Boy says, with Matt Ryan playing at the end of his prime in this last contract/deal, Lincoln Riley is the perfect fit for the Falcons out of all the teams that suck. This is a great take because Trevor literally just wrote about this today.
He did, and I loaded up that article anxious to see what teams he put in there, and I was quite surprised to see the Falcons in there. Maybe I still need to come to grips with the Falcons being mediocre or below average. You know, if Lincoln Riley is going to come to the NFL, it's going to be either an environment where it's not – I don't think it's going to be like a huge turnaround, or it's going to have some quarterback that just, you know, a Baker or a situation where he's going to get a guy where – you know, it's a match made in heaven. I don't know. Like, I feel like Atlanta's definitely committed to Matt Ryan. Is Matt Ryan the type of quarterback that's really going to mesh well with Lincoln Riley? I mean, I guess any quarterback will, right? What does Lincoln Riley say? If your system isn't quarterback friendly, then your system's bad. Like, you know, anyone should be able to execute in it. And certainly the receivers there are interesting. But are we really at this point now with the Falcons where we're thinking new coach? I mean, I think that's where I get curious, because we're going to talk about the coaching carousel a little bit later here in the podcast, but I almost feel like the candidates are maxed out, and you have to really think you're going to get a guy that's better than what you have. And you've seen that this team can win with Dan Quinn. I'm a little hesitant to believe that Atlanta would be the destination for Lincoln Riley.
Joe, the Falcons are in trouble, man. They're 1-3. Their next 4 games are at Houston, at Arizona, L.A. Rams, Seattle Seahawks before the bye. And then they get Drew Brees coming back off the bye week in New Orleans the following week.
Fire Dan Quinn, but you better believe you're getting Lincoln Riley. Because if you're just going to go for Mike Pettine or Dave Tube.
Man, what the hell did Mike Pettine do to you? Thrown this poor guy under the bus 3 times in 2 days on this podcast.
I can't remember what executive it was that I follow on Twitter. Like some former executive was like, Mike Pettine's going to have his choice of jobs after the season.
Was it either Mark Dominic or Joe Banner?
One of those guys like that. I can't remember who it was. And since then, I'm like, holy crap. Like, that's the big ticket this year for coach? There's been so much turnover with coaches. It's like, the barrel's pretty dry. I don't know, man. I don't know. All right. Trevor Joseph says, with Kirk Cousins severely underperforming his contract up to this point, the Vikings will be forced to spend a 2020 first-round pick on a young whippersnapper to replace him. Hashtag Joe vocabulary for Joe. Hashtag takes on takes. Trevor's the best, man.
There's a 100% chance you know what whippersnapper is, right?
Yeah, but of course, I used it in the podcast yesterday. Were you here, Kyle?
I can't keep track, man. I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
And that's why Trevor put hashtag Joe vocabulary for Joe. He was putting it back on me.
First round pick for the Vikings. Well, I guess here's the question. Where are the Vikings going to pick?
I don't know, 15 to 20?
hard to see them making the playoffs with the way they're playing right now, right? I mean, the passing defense is so abysmally bad, which is crazy because they just came off a big win against the Raiders. This team's Jekyll and Hyde. This team is really bipolar. Rest of the schedule, they got Giants, Eagles, Lions, Redskins, Chiefs, Cowboys, Broncos, Seahawks, Lions, Chargers, Packers, Bears. This team's now 2-2. Yeah, I mean, they'll be picking, I think 15-20 is a pretty good prognostication of where they're going to go. How's that for some vocabulary for Joe?
No, Kyle, I know the word prognosticator because your boy is a big fan of the movie Groundhog Day. And Punxsutawney Phil is the prognosticator of prognosticator. Little known fact here, Kyle, I've always wanted to go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for Groundhog Day to be part of that.
Let me tell you, you're not missing anything.
I want it,
Kyle. At all. It's in the middle of nowhere.
I know, but I've been to the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and had a good time this past May. I don't know if you remember.
Hey, that was different. You were in Amish country, and Brother, you went to Shady Maple.
Right. I anticipate Shady Maple. I anticipate the groundhog. What a great tradition.
There's no Shady Maple.
Listen. Are you in or not?
Yes, I'm in. That's fine. But I'm also out on the Vikings drafting a quarterback in the first round. I don't think the numbers will match up well for them.
Look forward to our trip to Punxsutawney. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, watch some football, game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, running backs going down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better sports line than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag today. They are the best in the business. It's where I play, and it's where you should too. Wouldn't be telling you guys to go with them if they weren't the best. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Kyle, what is this? This one goes to me, right? From Arista.
Yes.
Yeah.
From Arista.
And this is a quote tweet. So the Kirk Cousins below, that's the quote tweet, and then his take is on top of that.
Okay, so his take says, here's a take I have. It's a little spicy. Jay Gruden will be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings in 2020. And this was in response to a tweet somebody else had sent that said Kirk Cousins, 3 years, $84 million. Stephon Diggs, 5 years, $81 million. Adam Thielen, 4 years, $64 million. Vikings, 31st in passing yards per game, 32nd in passing first down per game. Which, shame on you if you're behind the Miami Dolphins in passing first downs per game this year.
If I'm the Minnesota Vikings, anytime you get a chance to reunite Kirk Cousins and Jay Gruden and their 26-30-1 record together in Washington, you got to do it, right, Kyle? No, man. Like, this is – I get that maybe you believe that Kirk Cousins was at his best with Jay Gruden in Washington, but I don't think that's a winning formula. I don't think that's the direction you go post Mike Zimmer, who's had good seasons as a head coach, but had a really difficult time finding the right offensive coordinator to complement what he does. And when he did, they lost him to the head coaching job in New York with Pat Shurmur. I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed on the way that Minnesota's defense is playing right now, but I'm not going from Mike Zimmer to Jay Gruden. To me, that feels like, at best, a step in the same direction. Like, it's not a forward move. It's probably a lateral move. Jay Gruden is the epitome of mediocrity and below average football in Washington. I have no idea why I'd want that to be my direction in Minnesota. I get why he thinks it, though.
You don't want him as the new man on the Minnesota Vikings?
Where were you last night for that conversation?
Hiding. Rooting for the Bengals. So you wasting really my time as equally as everyone else in that chat.
TDN Slack was lit last night. That's all I got to say. But Kyle wasn't part of it. If TDN Slack is lit, usually Kyle's a big reason why. This guy was nowhere to be found. Charlie Gross, he says, with offenses trying to get the ball out quicker and quicker, do you think we will start to see the de-emphasis of defensive linemen in the draft and more of an emphasis put on defensive backs and coverage linebackers?
No, because I still think you can scheme to defend yourself from quick game a lot easier, right? If you just target guys who can play bump and run coverage or have quick transitional skills to sit at 5 yards and can kind of collision routes. And I think at the end of the day, disruption of the quarterback, whether it's quick disruption, blitz disruption, or organic disruption versus, you know, 5 and 7 step drops, I think that will continue to be paramount because that's what the NFL prioritizes so much. I think where you will see more of an emphasis is not necessarily on full positions, but on the players like Isaiah Simmons from Clemson. Simmons mm-hmm. feels like, you know, he could very realistically be a top 12 pick in this year's class because of all of the things that he can do playing press coverage and turning and running with Miles Boykin down the field in the bowl game last year against Notre Dame.
Right, right.
Playing in the box, playing in the slot, playing deep set, like that versatility, I think those versatile defenders, those quote-unquote positionless guys that we used to make fun of and be like, oh, well, I don't know if Miles Jack can be a linebacker at the next level. And all of a sudden he's, you know, a very, very good pro linebacker, and you see examples of these kinds of safety linebacker, hybrid, tweener guys. I think you'll see a rise in them, but I don't think that will come at the expense of defensive line. Get Cam a steak, please. Said James Bradbury is a legit contender for second place in response to Joe saying Shaq Barrett is the defensive player of the year the first quarter of the season.
I like this take. Bradbury in a contract year has been playing lights out. I got some stats for you. He's got a sack. He's been targeted 17 times in coverage this year. He's given up 7 receptions. That's a reception percentage of 41.2. He's given up 96 yards and 13 yards after the catch on those 7 receptions. He has an interception, 2 pass breakups. The passer rating against his coverage this year, 35.4. He's been a really good corner this year. He's been a really good corner. He's certainly playing his best football right now. I think Khalil Mack is probably second in this discussion for me behind Shaq Barrett. Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy have been freaking unbelievable for the Patriots. He's in the discussion. I would say that he's in the discussion. I'm not going to sit here and say emphatically he's the number two, but James Bradbury has been really good. And actually, this guy's name of get Cam a steak, please, is really interesting. There's been some stuff written about how Cam's inability to recover and some of his injury issues lately have been tied to his vegan diet. I'm not here to tell you that's true or not, but there's people that believe that. Next one here comes from Glazers Out. You could put Andy Dalton into the Rams team, and they would look the same, if not better. Goff is a quarterback made by McVay and his system. Interesting, right? Isn't Dalton in McVay's system right now?
Yes, and he didn't look like Jared Goff out there, did he?
I don't think so.
Listen, the Rams have a bad offensive line, too. We want to sit here and talk about how bad the Bengals were, which we did earlier in the day. Rams' offensive line is problematic right now. And anytime you have to throw 68, is that the correct number of pass attempts Jared Goff had this past weekend? 68 times?
Something like
game?
That, yeah. Yeah.
It's not ideal, right? Jared Goff's kind of become like one of the public pinatas in football. And I like Jared Goff. I think he's got arm talent. I do think his life is made a lot easier by Sean McVay, which you saw what life was like before McVay got there. And Jeff Fisher was the head coach. But every successful quarterback is successful in part because of the system that they play in. And there's a lot of people that have the opinion that the Rams offense is just going to be turnkey and it doesn't matter who you put in there. Well, of course it makes a difference because there's timing and chemistry. And even if those things are replicatable, they're not necessarily so easily replicated that it can happen overnight. Like we're at a point with the Rams offense where Jared Goff has chemistry with these players, but the offense is a little stagnant because they can't seem to get the running game going. And Todd Gurley's getting six carries in a game, and the offensive line can't pass protect effectively. So this roster has some flaws that I think are accentuating Jared Goff not being the most fleet-footed or mobile or dynamic off-script versus on-script. But I don't think we should just brush Goff under the rug and say, well, he stinks. You could put anybody in there and take his place just fine.
You think the Rams give Goff 4 years, $134 million, if Andy Dalton could do the job the same, if not better?
No, I don't.
I feel like they have a firsthand account of what Goff's impact is on this team.
Right. All right. With Lincoln Riley having produced Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts looking so good now, how long before top high school recruits defensively start going to Oklahoma knowing they'll have an offense to win championships?
Wouldn't that be an appealing place for you to go if you were a defensive player? I'd want to go there, right? You're going to have that offense that's going to score points. It's going to put a lot of pressure on opposing offenses to match steps. You're going to be able to feast on a lot of erratic play, a lot of stress play from the opposing offense, and you can get some impact plays in that regard, breaking on the football, and sacks are going to be thrown a lot. So, I mean, it seems like those guys are having fun there in Oklahoma. And now, some of those guys on defense, Kenneth Murray, Neville Gallimore, they got that new corner, that true freshman corner looks unbelievable.
Yeah, he does.
So I think we're starting to see that. And, yeah, I'd want to go there for sure. If I was a defensive prospect, it'd certainly be an appealing destination. JB74 says, if we don't get Bama Clemson 5, it would be Bama that doesn't make it. This is a fun one.
I tend to agree with that, but only because Clemson's schedule's so soft.
I think their toughest game the rest of the way is, well, at South Carolina and Wake Forest.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, if those are your tough games, like, not to take anything away from those two teams, they could easily lose one of those games, or they could lose another game. I mentioned at NC State as a potential letdown game
right. For Clemson,
but you look at the schedule Alabama has to play, and then you look at the schedule and compare it to what Clemson has to play, I'd probably take the team with the softer schedule to be more likely to make it in, even if they're not quite as good right now offensively.
Here's what's interesting to me about this discussion, right? We talk about the teams getting to the playoffs, but what if they get to the playoffs and don't play each other? Like, there's a chance they could be the 2 and 3 seed and they will have to play, but like, I'm not assuming that this is a 1-2 situation right now and that they both win a playoff game and then play for the championship, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what's interesting to me, because Oklahoma and Ohio State look so good right now too. The seeding could really come into play here about not getting Alabama Clemson 5, because then it becomes, all right, Clemson wins out, Alabama wins out, but then Clemson has to beat Oklahoma or Ohio State to play Bama, right? And right. Bama has to beat either one of those two teams. I think that's the dynamic of the conversation that gets interesting for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. This is for you, right?
I kind of want you to have this one. I'll concede it.
I'll give you my take from Trey Wingo.
Okay. All right. So let's just go in order here. You're getting this one from Ismael Gomez.
All right.
This is fascinating. Is it crazy to think Miami would take a 2017 Browns-esque route and take a generational talent at edge in Chase Young because their roster isn't ready for a quarterback?
Yes, it is crazy. Because the Dolphins are not going to sign themselves up to skip out on a quarterback for another year and inevitably be punchless on offense again and have everybody get fired. Like, I understand that there's a lot of time and a lot of things can change between now and the actual draft. But Miami, every single report, including from the owner when he was interviewing coaches for the job in January, says the plan is for the Dolphins to position themselves to draft a quarterback with an early pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Chris Greer met with the media two weeks ago, in the aftermath of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, and said, our objective is to get this turned around pretty quickly. We hope to be a competitive football team as quickly as 2020. We've allocated a lot of resources. We've allocated a lot of draft capital that can give us the flexibility to, his words, not mine, do whatever we want in the 2020 NFL draft. We have 9 figures in salary cap space available to us. Stephen Ross did not sign up for the Dolphins to not draft a quarterback. If the Dolphins skipped on drafting a quarterback, and there's some unforeseen circumstances, what if Tua goes back to school? What if Jake Fromm doesn't come out? What if Herbert goes one and the Dolphins don't have the top pick and you're left with, you know, do you want to draft Joe Burrow in the top five? Like, that's the only way that I could be like, okay, well, let's not take a quarterback.
Let me ask you this. Let's be honest about where the Dolphins are going to pick in the first round. I think they're going to pick one. I think the Steelers pick will be
between 8 and 12.
All right, let's go over in the middle, which is 10. And then the Houston pick will be what?
Early to mid-20s. 20 to 25.
All right, let's call it 23. So they have 1, 10, and 23.
Yeah.
You take Tua at 1.
Yep.
The Bengals pick 2, and they pick Herbert. Number 3 is Washington. Would you give 10 and 23 to get to 2 and take Chase Young, or would you rather have the 3 players?
That's a great question.
I mean, it's legit, right? I'm not getting weird. That's a normal question, right?
So there. Would I rather have Tua and Chase Young and have to give up my late second round or late first round pick to get there?
Or would you rather have Tua, Tristan Wirfs, and CeeDee Lamb or something like that? Whatever combination of 3 players.
Hmm.
And also, Does 10 and 23 get you to 3?
Probably not.
What did Miami give up in that Deion Jordan deal? They went from like 10 to 3.
Yeah, it was they gave up
10 to 2 or something stupid.
Yeah, I think they gave up like 2 second round picks and that was it.
Right. I mean, different dynamics,
but
right?
Was, yeah, everybody that was a terrible draft class and it was 6 yeah. years ago.
So I think 10 and 23 would be reasonable, right?
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
Would you do it? And here's the problem, and here's where I have apprehension with your proposal. If you're going to draft 2 at 1, and everything that I just said about why Miami can't not draft a quarterback at 1, you can't not surround him with talent. So it really hurts to take 2 first-round picks off the board that are not going to go to the offensive supporting cast around Tua. So if you could tell me I can get a blindside offensive tackle in Tristan Wirfs, and I can get, whether it's Yetur Gross-Matos as a pass rusher in the late 20s, or if Tyler Beatus falls, or Creed Humphrey's there, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like if you're going to be what Miami is, to commit to getting a high draft selection, and then you take a quarterback, I understand best player available and Chase Young super dynamic, but don't you have to invest in the cast?
That free agency will dictate it a lot. I mean, to me, I love the idea of Miami going to a offensive tackle wide receiver. And it might not have to be in that order, but
right.
Get one of these wide – get Ruggs, Lamb, right? One of those types of players, and then make sure you get Wirfs or Thomas or Leatherwood or – look –
now, here's where I'll pivot on you real quick.
Okay.
If you can tell me I can take 10 and get to 3 with 10, 33, and one of my – and the Houston's first-round pick in 2021, I'll do that deal in a heartbeat.
Oh, no, I wouldn't at all.
Why?
I want that pick next year.
Okay, then trade back from 25.
Yeah, okay. Man, you're going to have a long, like, how many months is this? Like seven
and that's months? That's what Chris Grubin, he literally said in the press conference, we feel like we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever seen a team this loaded in a 2-year window, at least not in the time that I've been working the industry.
And the trade back options really open up a whole nother world of long-term flexibility, right? That's the one thing I wouldn't do. I don't think I would ever sacrifice that because you're going to have this number one overall pick quarterback and then all the resources in the world through the draft to build around him. It's probably never going to be a good idea to trade up, honestly.
Right.
Just keep stockpiling. This is a process. You need to have as much young talent on this roster as possible and don't sacrifice your opportunities.
You could feasibly, with the position Miami's in, every first round pick after the first two that they have this year and probably their own pick next year, which will be a high pick again, you could turn every first round pick into two first round picks. Trade back and get one next year.
Yeah. Insane.
All right. So Trey Wingo said, Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor, Vic Fangio, and Brian Flores are all winless. The first time in 100 years of the NFL that four rookie head coaches have gone winless through their team's first four games. And I said this to you in our DM, this is not impressive because two of these four weren't qualified for their jobs to begin with. And one of the other two teams is openly tanking 2019.
I mean, it's impressive because it hasn't happened in 100 years in the NFL, right? So, but yeah, when you look at the context of the situation, you're right. Cliff Kingsbury, Zach Taylor are not qualified to be coaches in this league. Brian Flores isn't supposed to win. And Vic Fangio, that's like the one I'm like, man.
What are you doing?
Literally, what Chubb's out for the year. Like they want it to be mediocre. And they can't even get there. So that's what gives me so much hesitation about the next coaching carousel that is inevitable in the NFL. Who are you firing your coach for?
They're going to have to be college guys. You cannot rehash guys from the pro.
Again, the sample size that we have of guys going from college to the NFL doesn't show you a whole lot of impressive stuff lately.
I think Matt Rhule will eventually be a good hire. Baylor just extended him, so he's out for now. Lincoln Riley. Those are probably the first two phone calls I'd make.
I wish we had a better idea or sense of what Lincoln Riley really wants to do.
Right.
And he's got it made. I always think of like on the personal side of things. If I were a coach that could coach wherever I wanted, I would hate the idea of having to recruit. Sounds annoying as hell, man. Could you imagine spending all your time convincing 16, 17-year-old kids to come play football at your school?
No.
The resources and time and energy in that. Jim Harbaugh, he's probably got a wife and kids. He's going and sleeping over people's houses to get a kicker. Like, that's just not going to be, man. It's not going to be me. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be 45 years old, 50 years old and doing that crap.
Joe, our last take from JJ. Props, JJ turned in himself.
It's great. I don't know what we said about it, though. I hope we were right.
JJ from August 13th said the Broncos will have a better defense than the Bears. Hashtag takes on takes. JJ on September 30th quote tweeted himself and said takes on takes, tattle takes. Who would say such a thing?
JJ, you're the man for this. I had some concerns that Chicago would be able to just pick up and go, right? They lost Adrian Amos. They lost Bryce Callahan. They lost their defensive coordinator, right? Like, there was enough change over here for you to get a little bit nervous about everything remaining the same. Well, it looks the same to me, right? Scoring touchdowns, getting sacks. Khalil Mack can't be stopped. Playing good on the back end. I mean, it's been impressive what Chicago's been able to do there with so much change, meaningful change, and still being a top defense.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
Do you know how many sacks the Bears are on pace to have this year through four games?
No, I don't.
Give me a guess.
64.
68. They're on pace for 68 sacks as a team in 16 games. Astronomical number.
And they still need a rusher opposite Mac.
Right. Like, Leonard Floyd's been, you know, kind of off and on. And when he's on, he's on. And dude, did you see that power, that bull rush he put on Bakhtiari?
Yeah.
Week one? That was a great rush. But with that said, yes, they still need more in the pass rush department. And they're all Floyd.
Floyd's up after, right, he's completely cuttable. His You can cut him and save a clean $13 million off the cap next year. So there's a decision to be made there. Yeah. He's 27 years old. Like, I mean,
It's a big year for him. Has to convince them to want to stay with him.
Yeah, and I get that, but it's like, I don't so easily forget about the previous three seasons, you know?
Sure.
The flashes have always been there. I think it's more injury related with Floyd than anything, but I mean, just what you have to pay these guys, man.
Big bucks, Joe.
Yeah, big bucks.
Big bucks for anybody who comes back and sees us again the rest of the week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Draft Dudes. We will be back tomorrow. Kind of like that would you rather dilemma you gave me, Joe. Maybe we can brainstorm like two or three of those and go through some scenarios, if you will. And then Thursday is college football top 25 picks against the spread. So we get a good rest of the week coming up. Come back and see us. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.